Most of us enjoy the Christmas season and the Easter season, two special days in which there's usually a lot of festivities, in which there's a lot of excitement, dressing up for the holidays, families getting together. We enjoy the Christmas music, at least for a while. But Lent, as we begin a new season tonight, is a little different. You don't hear Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted being played in the grocery store, now do you? Celebrating Lent is a little different and takes on a different form. Lent, in one essence, does feel a little strange of a holiday to be celebrating, that is. And one of the reasons why it's kind of strange is because we usually think to ourselves, isn't this a time when we give up something? And who would really want to celebrate giving up anything? Except for, I will admit, if I would celebrate giving up paying taxes. But I don't think that's the intention here. No wonder why each year it seems like fewer and fewer churches will celebrate this age-old, fourth-century tradition. Some view it as too old-fashioned, some maybe just too, quote, Roman, or too medieval for us, quote-unquote, contemporary Christians to handle. Lent does indeed ask us to give up something. I mean, haven't we given up already a lot of things? For those of you who had to raise kids, didn't we sacrifice a lot for them already? Maybe we had to put them through college. Maybe we had to save for our retirement. Maybe we had to put on a new roof. Thank you very much. We've done a lot of self-sacrificing as it is. So why should we give up anything during this time of Lent? Or maybe it's the themes of Lent that might trouble us. I mean, who wants to talk about penitence or sacrifice or contemplation or prayer? These are the words of Lent. But the truth is, we need Lent. I need Lent. I need Lent as a time to focus, a time to get my mind off the things of this world, my social life, the projects, and the hundred of other things in which my mind seemed to be racing from one moment to the next moment over, and instead center myself in the meaning of this period of Lent. I need a time to clear my head of the many distractions that my life is involved in. A time to remember and to reorientate myself toward the Creator, Redeemer, the Sanctifier, the one who gives me life and keeps me in that life. I need an opportunity to clear my eyes of the glazes of indifferences that we go through in life, and apathy that comes from just moving full speed ahead without the time to sit there and say, wow, what just happened? I need a time where I can fasten my eyes once more upon the revelation that I have a God who loves all people. So much he did take on flesh and blood, lived among us, and eventually suffered and died on a cross. Since Lent is that time to prepare and to refocus us for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we need to realize that during these 40 days of Lent, this is a gift of God for his people, a gift for people who are starved for meaning, a gift of courage, a gift of comfort, a gift of life, true life. And then when we finally realize that Lent is this gift, then we are in the right place and the right time. Then we wholly realize that we are God's treasured possessions. Seen this way, Lent reminds us of who we are. So when we talk about the sacrifices, the disciplines, these are not intended as, quote, good works offered by us to God. Rather, they are God's gifts to us to remind us who we are. God's adopted sons and daughters, God's treasure, priceless, so that God was willing to go to any depth, any length, including going to the cross. Yes, indeed, we need Lent. We need his gifts so that we can acknowledge him being the gift. We need to be quiet and still so that we can hear God speaking to us through his word. You are mine. I love you. I am with you. In the midst of life that Christ calls us, he calls us to focus our attention on him. He calls us through his word and sacraments. He calls us to repent of our selfish ways, to put on ashes, to remind us of our self-centeredness. And throughout these midweek services, we're going to hear how he commands us to pray. So tonight, as we prepare ourselves for the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, we're going to pick up this theme of prayer. And we begs the question, have you been faithful with God's gift of prayer? Our first reaction will probably be defensive, picking up the Adam and Eve account by Satan. Did God really command us to pray? The answer is yes. It is a command. It's not an option. Now we're feeling that guilt. Now we are reminded of our sin. And now we're reminded, yeah, I like Easter and Christmas a lot better than I do Lent. But wait. We have to realize that any deep awakening of the spiritual life of the church will always be accompanied by a deeper sense of sin. The deeper the sense of sin, the more intense the need for deliverance. The more we realize how much we failed, the more we cling to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking on flesh and blood. Thank you for going to the cross and from rising the dead. So for this Lent, we turn our focus upon prayer. Not prayer just for ourselves, but prayer for one another. Hence the term intercessory prayer. We're going to be talking about how God is going to use us as his tools and instruments to be praying for other people. We might be raising our hands saying, okay, Pastor, wait a minute. What about me? And this is part of the sacrifice of Lent. I don't want you to worry about you. One of the ways I kind of teach this in the small catechism to my junior high confirmation class is this. 7 petitions of the Lord's Prayer. One of those 7 petitions focuses upon your needs. 1 out of 7. Not too bad. So can we pray for other people? Jesus asks us to love our enemies. Now can you pray for them? Instead of just praying for yourself and for things that will make your life easier, can you pray for those who hate you, who persecute you? These are biblical themes. The discipline of doing so is extremely challenging, next to impossible. It actually is impossible for us human beings alone. We need help. We need a Savior. So tonight, as we begin this concept of intercessory prayer, we have to ask ourselves, what is stopping you from praying for others? Is it not a priority in your life? What is it do we really want? So tonight we begin with that question of questions, so to speak. If I forget to pray for others, or if I don't pray at all, am I really sinning? And your pastor's typical response is, well, what does Scripture say? First of all, from Job chapter 15, verse 4. But you are doing away with the fear of God and hindering meditation before God. Okay, there's a little bit of an inference of prayer there, so let me hit it more directly. From 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and right way. Okay, there we have it. We are told we do need to pray for one another. In Luther's Small Catechism, we talk about sins of commission, sins that we actively do by thought, word, and deed. But there's also a sin of omission, in which we fail to do what is expected to be done. Our sermon series will spend a little bit more time taking a look at this sin of omission, our own failure to pray intercessorily for others. If we are to deal with this lack of prayer in our own lives, we have to look at it from this point of view. Failing to pray for others is a sin. And how do we deal with it? How is it going to be discovered? How is it going to be confessed and cast out of man? The only answer, it will be cleansed by God. Jesus is our Savior from sin. It is only as we know sin that we truly know the power that saves from sin. If we don't realize we're a sinner, then we really don't need a Savior. And that's why we're doing this during the time of Lent, a time of preparation. The life that can pray effectually is the life of a person who is cleansed by our Lord and Savior. The life that knows deliverance from the power of self. To see that our prayers, our absence of prayers, are indeed sin, is the first step. The first step in taking a look at the promises that and deliverance that our Lord and Savior gives to us. The presence of God is indeed a great privilege for God's people. He's with us. He gives us His Word. He empowers us with Word and sacrament. And then when we leave here all empowered up, so to speak, we fail all too quickly to pray for other people. God's Word reminds us we need to pray for other people. We are God's tools and instruments. Don't ask me why God chooses to work through such means as sinful human beings as you and me. You would think that He would create some creature that would always do His bidding, would always pray, would be that faithful instrument. I mean, just think of it for a moment. You go to the drawer to pull out a screwdriver because you want to tighten a screw, and you go and grab the screwdriver, and the screwdriver says, "No, no, no, not today. I don't feel like it." What? But don't we say we are God's tools and instruments? But yet we won't pray for other people? We know what we're supposed to do. Lord, have mercy. Fortunately, He does. Now, once we are that faithful instrument, like a good tool, screwdriver, hammer, wrench, whatever is necessary to get the job done, God uses us. And by the way, something that doesn't usually happen with tools that we know of, the more we're being used by God, the stronger we become. You want to grow in that faith? Trust in God. Do His bidding. You want to grow in that faith? Continue to pray to God. Continue to pray for other people. Ask God to open your eyes to see the need of the world around you. Yes, our sinful nature is strong, and it wants to keep us moving so fast that we don't pay attention to the simple surroundings that are going around us. People in need. people who need to hear the gospel message. But God has all these tools, us around, saying, yeah, I'll do your bidding. I want to do whatever you say, Lord. But when the Lord asks us, oh yeah, pray for them. I'll do the conversion, you just do the praying. Lord, I got other things to do. But if we were to yield to the Spirit's power, God can do very many things. God does indeed work through means. And so during this sermon series, as we continue this series on our midweek services during Lent, we are going to be reminded of our failures. Because God speaks of sin to his people to remind them only because he is the way of saving them from it. He needs to open our eyes to our own failures and to the needs of people around us so that he can draw us closer to him so that we can be more effective. In the same light that shows of the sin will also show the way out. The great intercessory, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this manner of prayer, we are sure that God does not demand of us the things that are impossible. He does not make us weary with things that we cannot do. He asks us to pray no more than he gives us grace and enables us to do. He will give us the grace to do what he asks. So to pray that our intercessions shall day by day be a pleasure to him will also become a source of strength to our conscience and our work and a channel of blessing to those for whom we pray for. This is the focus behind the sermon series, so that we can be drawn closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be his effective tool. He is the one who calls us, delivers us from death, and gives us life. He is the one who has come to us and to make this connection with us. He is the one who takes on flesh and blood and lives among us. He is the one that comes to establish this special relationship, this special communion. He feeds us with his own body. He nourishes us with his own word. And we thank God for this. And in the midst of this great communication, hearing God's word, being fed by him, he also says, by the way, you need to pray. Did we get the message? Because sometimes, because of the busyness of our lives, communications sometimes get garbled. Can we truly pray in our prayers for other people in need, who need to hear the gospel, who have various needs of life, and say, yes, Lord, thy will be done, not mine. Thanks be to God that he has given us this gift of prayer. And we ask the Lord to continue to bless us as we continue through this sermon series to know and to appreciate this gift that he has given. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.